And hello out there in Buckland. This is old Buck Dave back again.
And this is old Buck Dell here with them.
They are. We are here, the two old Bucks together again, naturally. Back with another fun packed episode. If I can get my. Apparently not. I've been told that more. But hey, welcome back. Good to see you, Dale. Let's start off with a couple of letters from afar.
Okay.
We've got some couple interesting ones here. The first one is from Valentin in Russia. He's an old favorite of ours. We've talked about him a couple times. He's a fellow that did the trip around the U.S. Now, of course, he gives us plaudits for our episode where you talked about indigestion in space and dark matter and all that sort of thing. And that was nice to see. And he said, and I'm sure you hit a nerve with the rant about auto dealers and cars. Almost everybody has a couple of angry words for those decent people. He says, I have a rear camera system. It works fine, except when the roads get wet. This all sounds familiar, right?
Right.
He says, it's a design issue. The car should stay in the garage if it's raining outside, as Dale suggested. So, okay, it seems to be this is global here.
Well, I've got a little update on that.
You got an update? Okay, on your backup camera story. Let's hear it.
Remember I left you on the hook on that?
You did leave me on the hook, yeah.
We were saying that...
unhook me, baby.
It was a couple of weeks out before they would do that.
I'm flopping here.
Right. Well, the dealerships now with the follow-up stuff, I mean, I must have got 20 reminders on my email that, you know, my appointment was made. And then they send a lot of follow-up stuff. So now they're doing surveys. So there's a pretty good tracking system. If you have an issue, you know, they're following up on everybody, almost to the point where I would hate to be one of the guys that have, you know, has to deal with 100 irate customers and, you know, and everybody wants to write a dissertation on what they got. But the service was actually quite good. They was quite good. And I walked, I got in there. I told them what I was there for. They said, yada, 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 that we got you covered. Okay. So I sat down and began to read the paper. And about an hour later, he comes back and says, we're all done.
Nice. Said, wow. Nice.
Yeah. That's what I said. Well,
life
we're all done.
Good. Yeah.
So I get in the car, or before I get in the car, I said to them, I said, well, okay, did you compare those things? And are you satisfied that we made an improvement? And, you know, you guys did a little analysis on this thing. And in the meantime, he's like busy. He's by himself, but he's really moving. And he's saying, listen.
He's hoping you're going away, right?
No, he said, listen, you wanted a camera.
Yeah.
We just put a camera in. And I said, you know, sir, you're right. No matter what the condition, whether I can see better with it or not. He said, you know, because that's what I talked him into. So the guy had the guy cornered with the, I'll replace it. And there is quite a bit of an improvement. I thought wasn't as clear as some of the other cameras I've seen, but it definitely, I thought, improved it. And whether it did or not, my case was closed. My mouth was shut. And I drove away. And that was
the story. Okay.
Yeah. So I believe it's better.
It's a rant with a happy ending. I like it. Like it, man. Well, so far my system's working too, but I'm keeping it in the garage every night, like you said.
Out of the weather. He said, you wanted a camera? We put a camera.
Camera. So,
whatever it is.
See, life is good, baby.
Yep.
Life is good. That's nice. Hey, we got a couple other letters here. We got one from Richard saying, he says, don't assume all your listeners are so well-versed in crypto mining, et cetera, et cetera. And he did, he kind of takes us to task here and talks about computational ledgers and competition solving math problems. And so just for Richard and anybody else out there, if you go back to season 2, episode 23, we kind of talked all about the cryptocurrencies and non-fungible technicians,
tokens, non-fungible tokens,
and all that stuff.
And we even tried to sell one.
We tried. We couldn't.
Stovetop art.
We had one or two lookers, but no buyers. I don't understand that. I thought it was pretty good.
And then I've read a lot of. Did you read that article lately, Dave? About the there was a guy that came up with called what was it called? It was called Squid Coin or something. Did you see that?
Oh, it's a scam. The scam coin, yeah. Squid.
The squid money,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, that was great, wasn't it? I mean, here, this is what that stuff leads to. This is what it leads to. It leads to
fraud.
Fraud.
I mean, that was an outright con, and people bought into it. They said,
so they bought a couple of people, several million dollars worth of this stuff, and then he left. Then he shut it down, kept the money. Come on, yeah. People. It's not real.
Wanted to call you on the phone right now. Look at this.
Yeah, I did see that. I got a big smile in my, not a smile for the people that lost their money, but you know, it's like, well,
but anyhow, there's a lot of stuff with that stuff going on out there, yeah. And all that. So anyhow,
except
you can write right in if they don't understand.
Except for the Bucky coin. The Bucky coin, you know,
makes me think we should have tried it.
We should have tried it. Yeah. There's still time. Listen, we got another letter from afar here from Intrepid Ranger Rick. Uh-huh. And this is actually a very good suggestion here. He says, perhaps you too could discuss and provide your insights on how Pennsylvania got 7 cities into the top 25, I think it's actually 8, best places to retire, according to U.S. News and World Report. Only Florida had more, with 11. Together, the two states account for about 3/4 of the best places to retire. He's talking, in the top 25.
Well, that's very interesting. That's very interesting because 30 years ago, it was the best state to escape from.
That's right. That's right.
Uh-huh.
So he raised the questions. Why do you think Florida, and I just did a quick count here, and Florida has 8 of the top 10 cities in their list. In Pennsylvania has 7 cities in the top 21 now. So that's 11 and 7. That's 18 out of 21 cities are in those two states.
I know people live in both of those states. And
I do too.
Actually, I've spoken to both of them.
You've spoken to both states.
Yeah, but people. Who,
okay, that's better.
Let me rephrase that. I spoke to the people about the both states. Yeah.
Don't forget those dependent clauses there.
Let me not make eye contact with you. Okay.
So okay, that's better.
Carry on here. Yeah. So I realized that, and I said, yeah, there's a lot of advantages. I think the tax advantages in both those states contribute a lot to that. And number two is, I think when you announce that one of your cities is the best place to retire, you put a hex on the place.
Oh, it's like the curse, right? That's the curse.
That's right. I mean, once it starts, and it does have amenities, and people really like them, and they were really, really nice. I mean, you could drive through the mountains and watch the fall leaves. Now you can drive near the mountains and wait to the traffic, mm-hmm. you know, to get out of your road before you can even see the leaves or find a place to park to look at the. Remember that one bridge we crossed, you and I, and we stopped and looked at and walked down the side of that mountain?
I do remember that.
Is that in Virginia? Was it in Virginia? Well, imagine how pretty that is.
Yes.
How pretty that is. And if that's designated as the best place to retire, you probably couldn't get near the place. So it's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
If
anybody wants to know who number one on the list was.
My opinion?
Not your opinion, U.S. News opinion. Their opinion is it's Sarasota, Florida.
Well, Sarasota.
So everybody
a nice
in
place.
Sarasota, kiss your way of life goodbye because it's going to be changing. Well, it's already changing.
Well, any listeners we have in Sarasota, I think
we do have some listeners. We have a fairly good contingent in the Sarasota Bradenton area. Maybe 400 or 500. I don't know.
Those folks, I'm sure, have seen massive changes because I think there's a rule that there shouldn't be more than 6 inches of green space available before we can put a hotel on it.
I think that is the rule.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And don't try to make a left turn, you know, in the season. Because there's certain intersections that the traffic backs up so far that it covers all the access roads, all the side access roads. Mm-hmm. You ever notice that?
A fellow who lives down, it's funny. I was just talking to a fellow who lives down there today. Mm-hmm. And he said they're putting another traffic circle in downtown. And he was trying to get from point A to point B through the circle. And because of the construction, the circle diverted him on on a 4-mile detour. 4 miles.
And just think about this. This is supposed to be the best place. Imagine if everybody walked or was bicycle, or was, you know, maybe you could say that is, but
then it would be a perfect world. Yeah.
Any of these places that they've designated and people are moving to, I mean, there are people there that saw it in its heyday, as far as I'm concerned. They saw it when it was really the best place to be.
Yeah.
And the newcomers are getting to enjoy quite a bit of the amenities, but man, I'm telling you, it's got to reach a limit.
Yeah.
Where they pick 10 more places that aren't so full.
Yeah, yep, exactly.
And move it. Yeah. What if they did this? They hear you. What if they did this? What if they just said, hey, let's boost up the activity, the economic activity in Wheeling, West Virginia, or someplace in Nashville, Tennessee.
Grattstown, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I mean, just pick one of these places and name it to be a hot spot to retire, and all of a sudden you have all this development coming in and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I do understand that both states are nice, both have great amenities, but there comes a point when you got to
But, you know, the states are kind of opposite in a lot of ways. It's kind of interesting. Look at Florida. I mean, it's got an easy winter. It's like the best place to be in the winter. It's got a hellish summer, let's face it.
That's right.
It's nasty. Pennsylvania's kind of the opposite. You know, spring, summer, fall, pretty decent. Winter, no good. No good. Winter, you know, you don't see the sun from November to April, I think, something like that.
So I think I have a solution.
Okay.
You need to retire in both places.
if only somebody were smart enough to do that.
Great. So you have a little place somewhere in Allentown, and then a little place down in Sarasota.
And that's it. Yeah.
Then I think they have a name for people to do that.
Snow runners, snow birds, snow jokes. Hey, the way I see it, looking at the way U.S. News rated things. You know, a lot of the cities in Pennsylvania, they rated high. I would call it like comeback cities that have, rust belt cities that have gotten beaten up in the past, population left, and now people are coming back to those cities because cost of living is relatively low. The other thing is healthcare is very good in all these cities that they're ranking in Pennsylvania. On their scale of 10, now all these Florida cities that made the top 20, they get a 5 to 6 in healthcare, and the Pennsylvanias are all low 8s or high 8s, low to mid 9s.
I think Florida healthcare, speaking of healthcare, which I'm a member of that system myself, is a bit overwhelmed. It takes you sometimes 30 days to get in to see an ear, nose, and throat guy. So that could be a problem.
Not to offend anybody in Florida, but I think the healthcare system is not as good here as it is in other places that I've lived.
I would say so.
We just lost 3 more listeners. I don't know.
Well, they'll know if you get caught in the health system, and it's pretty. Quick to react. You can get in when you're actually ill and not have to wait 3 or 4 weeks before they can see you, or forced to go to the emergency room as your first line of defense, which, by the way, those guys, they're not there to fix your sinus problem. They're just saying, you're not going to die, get out of here.
You know what?
I've been through that.
We're becoming way too thoughtful here. I'm getting a little scared here.
Yeah. So anyhow,
but anyhow,
go where you got good health care, I would say. So that might bump those boys up.
Well,
in Pennsylvania
with them. Since, there's all different ways to rank best places to do this, best places to do that.
Mm.
And I found this, this is a pretty obscure article. And I'd like to just kind of run through it. It's called Best Places to Hide in the Witness Protection Program.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is something that, you may find interesting, actually, for reasons that we both know. Okay. Now, there's a long list of cities here. I'm just going to read what they wrote for the top 5 here. We'll hit some of the bullets, okay?
Okay. All right.
And feel free to comment if you're... City number five is Kokkola, Finland. Now, can you imagine that? They've picked this
town. That's out of the way.
It's out of the way. It's got a population of 48,000. It was chartered in the year 1620, and it's 188 miles from the Arctic Circle. All right.
Now, that qualifies.
Yeah.
That
now qualifies. The big plus for this now is says it's a convenient location for Russian witness protection program enrollees. Okay. It says in this case they're hiding from the GRU and Putin, which is the same thing as hiding from criminals. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
The other plus here is everybody has a sauna. It's always naked. It's always natural. But they can spot the WPPers by the bullet scars and, you know, the telltale ring around the ankle from where that tracking device used to be before they got put in the program. So
that certainly qualifies. Certainly qualifies.
Yeah. Okay. Now here's number four. This is Cajoni, Bolivia.
Ah.
Population 450. Elevation 12.
Well, that place is really out of the way. I don't know. That doesn't ring.
Listen to this. Elevation 12,644 feet. So it's the smallest and the highest in our top five here. Okay, it's 25 miles from La Paz, on the way to Mount Iomani. It takes 3 to 5 hours to drive there, so they're probably not going to bother you if you're hiding there under the program. So that's a big plus. Here's another real plus: is there's only one phone in the town. And it's a satellite phone in a little hut, and it costs $5 a minute to use it. So, you know, there's not going to be much communication going in and out.
Yeah, I bet I know somebody that's been there.
You might have. I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that later here. Now, it's at around 13,000 feet. Outsiders are going to have trouble breathing, let alone hunting somebody down.
Right.
So, again, Cajoni, Bolivia. It's small, but high.
And what do they call the people there? The Cajonis?
The Cajonians? I don't know.
Or maybe they're just Peruvians.
I would say they're Peruvians.
Oh, okay.
No, I wouldn't call them Peru. They're in Bolivia. They wouldn't be Peruvians. Come on, you're confusing me here. All right, let's go to number three here. Enough Cajoniforms.
I'm trying not to laugh.
All right. Number three, Mayaca City, Florida.
There you go.
Okay. Population, 6,300. Zip code, 34251, if anybody's wanting to search them out. Now, it's the interesting thing about Mayaca City, it's got a 55% male population versus 49.2% countrywide. So that's clear we've got an influx of, you know, witness protection people that are looking for the warmer weather. That's why there's so many extra men.
And it's a real city.
It's a real city, Mayaca City, population 6,300, yeah. Mm. Now, it's the butt of a lot of jokes about golf, you know, by people in the Gulf Coast cities. But I think these jokes were planted by the town residents, just in an effort to thwart people from moving there, you know?
By tacking the name city onto a small town. Could I say it that way?
It's just that it's a country town. It's out there, and it's kind of the butt of a lot of jokes. But I looked at the statistics. The average wage there is much higher than Florida. The average for Florida in the U.S. So there's some money hidden out.
How many traffic lights? That's usually an indication.
Well, I didn't.
I think there's only one.
Okay. The other they got Colonel Herman's Royal Lipizzan Ranch there. Those are those big old horses that got liberated from Austria. I've watched their show. It's a great show. I was able to see.
Well, all the best to the folks in Mayaca City, Florida. You know, we might have a listener out there who knows.
All right, let's go to number two here. Mm-hmm. Number two is Gardnerville, Nevada. Its zip code is 89410. It's a population of 6,100, so it's very close to Mayaca City. It's in the center of the Carson Valley at the base of the eastern slopes of the Sierras near Lake Tahoe and the beautiful Hope Valley. The early settlers in 1870 were primarily Danish, followed by French Basques 20 years later, who brought sheep ranching, which became an economic driver to the area. Listen to this. The population has doubled in the last 20 years, with most of the new residents named Smith or Jones. What's that tell you? It's a safe haven for those guys trying to fly under the radar.
Smith and Jones.
Yeah. And they listen to this. This is the town's official slogan. Easy to find, hard to leave. Now, they have an unofficial slogan, too.
Yeah, you're not making this stuff up either.
I'm not making this up. I'm just reading from this. I couldn't do this. So the unofficial slogan, according to many residents, is so many sheep, so little time. I guess that means there's a lot of job openings in the shepherding business out there.
That's right.
And the best thing about Gardnerville is it's the home of the J.T. Basque restaurant and bar, where you can get garlic-laced entrees along with more good food than you can eat, not to mention a half bottle of chilled red wine that you should drink quickly before you can taste it. Even better.
We might be provoking people to actually check these places out.
They might go there and write about them. Yeah. Even better, Sweet Marie and her brother JB, the co-owners, will regale you with sheep stories and challenge you to pin a dollar bill to the bar ceiling. It's possibly the happiest bar on the planet. So that's Gardnerville, Nevada, in the beautiful Hope Valley region. Number one. I know.
Number one.
You probably have an inkling who this is going to be. And it shouldn't be any shocker to us. Normalville, Pennsylvania.
Ah. I've hidden there on occasion myself.
Uh-huh. It sounds beautiful. It says, nestled in the Laurel Highlands, this hamlet of 2100 is near the Seven Springs Ski Resort, Frank Lloyd Wright's Falling Water, two state parks, and the Great Allegheny Passage Bike Trail. Now this is from a reading from a neighborhood website, the Neighborhood Scout, their website. It says, it is a fairly quiet town because there are relatively few of those groups of people who have a tendency to be noisy. Normalville has relatively few families with children living at home and is quieter because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Renters and college students, for their own reasons, can also be noisy.
Ooh.
Normalville has few renters and college students. But the biggest reason it is quieter in Normalville than in most places in America is that there are simply fewer people living here. If you think trees make good neighbors, Normalville may be for you. Now, this is written by them. If you want to hear, safe hiding places, that's got to be it.
I think I like that place already.
Yeah. Now, here's a couple other pluses that they wrote in the article. This is not from the website. This is from the big article here. It says, it's close to the Laurel Highlands hiking trail. In case you need to get out of town fast but can't use the paved roads for obvious reasons.
Yeah. Okay. Escape on a bike.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the residents will mind their own business because they're four-legged and furry. Actually, many two-legged variety are pretty hairy, too. It adds to the disguise. I'm just reading it, folks, here. That's number three. A band of rogue Airedales patrols the perimeter, trained to sniff and slobber on outsiders. And it's got the highest per capita 2 old bucks listeners on the planet, which is why we love everybody. I just threw that one in. That's not from the article. So that's covering it.
I think that town has a moose.
One?
I think it's a moose. A moose lodge, not an actual moose. I think it has a moose. You know that?
I didn't know that, but I believe it. I believe it.
Yeah. There's no elks. There's no elks, but there's a moose.
But anyway, the moose. I don't know. So those are the top five places to relocate under the Witness Protection Program. So Dell, something to keep in your back pocket.
Yeah. Greetings to all the folks in Normalville. I've been through there. Actually, I'm familiar with that place, as a matter of fact. And no one found me there either.
Nobody found you there. Nice nobody people
will find,
there.
Nobody will find you there.
There are nice people there.
They are nice.
Hey, anyway, I think we've pretty much used up our allotted time space today here in the space-time continuum. So this is Old Buck Dave saying so long, everybody.
Yeah, and this is Old Buck Dale saying hope you enjoyed our logic today, and you stay well.
Bye.